listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast.
I am going to be continuing our series called Not Good Enough. We are in week 3 now, but real quickly, just let me review the last couple of weeks to get us all caught up. So week 1, Pastor Rocky kind of laid the foundation for the idea, the concept, the thought behind this series, which can really be surmised like this. When we follow Jesus, we will often find ourselves in situations where the task that we are called to is bigger than our ability. We're simply just not qualified in the natural to achieve everything that God is leading us into. And on our own merit, we'll never be good enough. On our best day, we are still not good enough, but through Jesus Christ, we are made sufficient. Amen. And so Pastor Rocky explored the life of Moses and how he was very reluctant. He felt very inadequate, and that is exactly what God wanted from him in that moment. And God wants us to understand and recognize our own inadequacies as well, because it's when we realize that we are not enough, that is when God can use us. And so we are encouraged to not let our shortcomings dictate our destiny. And then last week, we explored the life of Gideon. Scared, intimidated, hiding Gideon is called by God to defeat the enemy that he is literally afraid and hiding from. Not because of anything special that Gideon was, but because God knew who Gideon could be and who he had called him to be. Not because of who we are does God call us, but because of what he sees in us. And so God wants to use us in great ways, especially when we are not good enough. And so today, we begin week 3 of this series, and I'll be honest with you, we're going to change the direction a little bit. In the last couple of weeks, we've explored some Old Testament heroes of the faith that did not start out very heroic. We look at the story of Moses, and we look at the story of Gideon, and we find a couple of men that were very reluctant, very timid to step into the calling that God had for their lives, to the point where from their own mouths, they were the ones saying, God, I'm not good enough to do what you are calling me to do. I'm just not good enough. But today what we're going to do is we're going to look at how to navigate the challenge that comes when God calls us into things that are just bigger than us in the natural. We cannot do these things. They're bigger than us. But the negativity and the doubt doesn't come from us. If we have confidence in God and how he has prepared us and how he has called us, that negativity might not come from us, but it might come from other people. And so we're going to talk today about how to navigate that as we look at the life of David. And so we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 28 in just a moment. But before we get there, I want to kind of give some context to where we're going to be kind of introduced in the scene of David's life. And so what we have here is we have this battle scene that is playing out. You've got the Philistines on one side, and you've got the army of Israel on the other side, and they are encamped on either side of this valley, one on one hill, one on the other hill, and in the middle is the Valley of Elah. And the stage was set for this epic battle to ensue. The Philistines want their land back that the Israelites claimed because God brought them into that land and gave it to them. It is theirs. And so there is this battle that is going to ensue over property rights, essentially. And there is this stalemate that's happening. Nobody's fighting. Both camps are just kind of camped out because what has happened is the Philistines have sent out this great warrior by the name of Goliath. Goliath was a literal giant, stood over 9 feet tall, experts believed, and was huge, massive, skilled warrior, carried the best and the newest weaponry and was very proficient in all of those things, had never lost a hand-to-hand combat fight. I mean, the best of the best, the insurmountable object. They send out Goliath and say, okay, anybody from the Israelite army that can defeat Goliath, if you defeat Goliath, our whole army will surrender. However, whoever you send out, if they lose this battle, this hand-to-hand, one-on-one battle, then the Israelite army would have to surrender. So as you could understand, tensions were very high. Now, David at this time was too young to fight in the battle, but he gets sent to the battlefield by his dad to bring his older brothers who were in the battle some lunch. He was bringing some food. He was simply just running an errand, and he shows up and he sees what's happening. He sees and feels the tension. He hears this Philistine giant on the other side of the battle line hurling insults and blasphemy, not just at the people of God, but at God, the one true God himself. And so all of the army of Israel is terrified, but David is indignant and he wants to do something about it. And we all know how this story ends, right? I don't even have to spoil this one for you. I spoiled last week. I don't have to spoil this week. We know that little David goes out, and we know that little David, through the power and might of God, defeats Goliath, defeats the giant with a sling and with a stone. He is victorious in God. But before he defeats that giant, before he defeats Goliath, he's got to defeat the doubt of others and how they look at him and how they speak into his life. And so 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is powerful. I thank you that it speaks to us, that it divides truth. And so, Father, we just pray today that we would see clearly your truth and we'd hear clearly your voice. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this summer, my wife has a milestone birthday coming up, of which number I will not tell you because I like my life. So there's a big birthday coming up. So as we were planning and strategizing what to do for this big birthday that's coming up, we wanted to make it significant. I wanted to do something special for her big birthday. And I kind of thought about her bucket list, some of these things that she really, really wants to do but hasn't had a chance yet. And I knew that Disneyland, the Disneyland, not Disney World in Orlando, Disneyland in Anaheim, California, was a bucket list item for my wife. My wife loves Disney so much, and I love my wife so much that I tolerate it. But I knew that she would want to go, and so I said, let's do this. Let's plan this epic trip for this big birthday, and we're going to go to Anaheim. We're going to go to Disneyland. We're going to do all of the things. We'll buy the mouse ears. We'll do all of the touristy Disney things because I love you that much, and we'll even bring our kids along, I guess. So we have this trip planned for summer, and we've done a really good job in planning this trip, I think. I think we've done all the right things. We booked the airfare at the right time. We got the lodging down, the rental car, the whole thing. We've done everything right. There was one mistake that I believe that I made throughout all of this, is that we told our kids about it months ago. I know, right? All the parents are like, "You dummy." That's a rookie parent move if I've ever made one, because every parent in the room knows as soon as you mention anything to your kids about an exciting thing that's coming up, they will not stop asking you about it until it is actually there. And we are months out, and I promise you, my 7-year-old son Lincoln has asked no short of a million times, "When is it happening? Is it today? Is it coming up?" He's so excited about this great thing that's going to happen. He has no idea that it's all for Deanna. We're going to do everything she wants to do. And if he wants to ride a ride and she doesn't want to ride a ride, he's not riding a ride. I'm just kidding. That's not. He's so excited about it. He's looking forward to this great thing. And honestly, I can't really blame him. His idea of time works differently than our idea of time. We know days, weeks, months. He doesn't get all of that. And so he's just so excited. And so the challenge is for him now, waiting. Don't we all have that challenge when we look forward to something great that's coming up in our lives? Maybe for you, it is a vacation. We're getting closer to summer. Maybe you have a vacation on the books and you are just chomping at the bit to get to wherever it is that you're going to go and you're excited and there's a challenge to wait for this. Or maybe you're in a season of life where you're looking forward to getting married and there's a wedding on the calendar and it's coming up and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Or maybe for you, this time of year, maybe there's a graduation or the end of school or something significant coming up. And that waiting is a challenge. I mean, let's be honest, it doesn't even take that much. How many of you maybe like made that impulse purchase on Amazon at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're just really excited about that truck pulling up to your house and putting whatever that terrible purchase is on your doorstep? Hopefully maybe this afternoon, right? But when there is something exciting, something to look forward to, waiting can be a challenge. And I believe this is kind of where we find David in our text this morning, because David at this point in his life has already been anointed. He has already been chosen to be the next king of Israel. However, there is already a king of Israel. Saul is already on the throne. He is the current king. God is not happy with him. And so he removes his blessing from Saul and puts it on young David. Now, experts and theologians kind of, you know, have some different ideas about the age that David was when he was anointed to be king, but they all say it was somewhere in between that 12 to 17 years old. He was young when he was anointed. When Samuel came to the home of Jesse, David's father, and said, "One of your sons is going to be the next king. God led me here," and he anoints David at that point in his life, but nothing significant changes for David externally in that moment. You see, there's still this period of he's got to wait to step into this destiny that God has laid out before him because it just wasn't time yet. And so he was waiting, tending sheep on a hillside in obscurity, wondering, when am I going to get this opportunity to step into the life that God has for me? And then one day, Jesse, his dad, sends him on this errand that sends him to this battle that is ensuing, or rather at a standstill in this valley, and Goliath is right there in the way. David sees this giant hurling insults and being disrespectful and just being blasphemous, and he just has enough of it. He just can't believe that this is happening. He can't believe that the Israelite army is letting this Philistines say these things about them and about their God. And so he is at this moment done waiting. He knows, he recognizes, this is the foot in the door. This is the entrance into my destiny. Things change for me today. I'm going to go take care of that. He is ready to fight. David is a lot of things. One of the things that David is confident. If you look all throughout the life of David, you don't find him being timid or shy. In fact, it kind of gets him in trouble sometimes, because that confidence turns into arrogance and pride often in David's life, and it leads him down some paths that he gets himself into trouble often, but he's just not a timid person. He's very confident. We don't see David in the same light or having the same interactions with God that we saw Moses or that we saw Gideon. There's no self-doubt there at all. There's no fear. There's no excuses as to when he's anointed as king, "God, I'm not good enough." There was none of that from David. David did not need a burning bush. David did not need a fleece laid out. David was all in from the word go. He did not need talked into it at all. However, there were quite a few people that tried to talk him out of his calling. There were many people that didn't believe in him. They didn't think he was the right person for the job. People that spoke fear and doubt into his life. I mean, in our text today, when David shows up to bring the food to his brother is angry at him. "What are you doing here? Why are you even here?" And he accuses him of being there basically just to be snoopy, just to see what's going on, just to see the battle, and basically tries to run him off and shoes him off. There is no belief in his brothers at all that he belongs on a battlefield, even in the capacity of running an errand and bringing them some food. And then you get to Saul, and when he approaches Saul with this boldness to defeat the giant, Saul kind of dismisses him and tells him that he's too young. But it even started before this, because you see, when David was anointed by Samuel to be the next king, God leads Samuel to the home of Jesse, and Jesse has 8 sons. And Samuel says, bring them out. One of them, one of these sons is going to be the next king. And one by one, Jesse brings his sons out. And he starts with the oldest, but David is the youngest, and he gets through seven. He's got eight sons. He gets through seven sons. David is still out on the hillside with the sheep. And Samuel said, is there anybody else? Because none of these seven are the one. God's not showing me that any of these seven. And Jesse kind of reluctantly says, well, yeah, there's this other, my youngest son. Jesse didn't even believe. His own dad didn't even believe that he was king material. And so all of David's life, he's got all of these people that just don't believe in him, whether they're speaking it or whether just their actions are proving it. He knows, David knows that he's called by God to big things. He knows that he's called by God in this moment on this battlefield to lead the people of Israel as their king. And he knows that there is a giant standing in his way. He's got faith in God's power. He's definitely got confidence in his own ability. But at seemingly every single turn, someone else is pointing out his flaws instead of encouraging his future. They're speaking doubt into his destiny. They are telling him, David, you're not good enough. And maybe you can identify with David at this point in his life today. Maybe you recognize and you know God has called you to do some things that are just bigger than you, do some things that are impactful for the kingdom of heaven. You recognize that call. You know you're leaning into it. You're confident of who God is. You have faith that God will lead you, guide you, provide for you, sustain you. That's not the issue. You're confident in your own abilities as well and what God has given you, the gifts and the talents and the strengths to see this thing out. That's not the problem at all. But what you are facing is that you've got people in your life, whether right now or whether in your past, that are speaking doubt to that instead of speaking faith into that. You've got people in your life right now that are maybe saying you're not good enough to do whatever it is that God has called you to do. They're probably not using those exact words, but they're saying that with their lifestyle. They're saying that with how they interact with you. They're saying that with how they discourage you. And I don't know who that person is or what place that happened in your life. Maybe it's from things that you're carrying from when you were a kid. Maybe a parent spoke doubt over you. They didn't believe in you. They didn't see the potential that God had in you. And so the interactions that you had with that parent as a kid, you carry those with you. And it's not that you doubt yourself, but you just have this doubt looming over you because somebody told you that you're just not good enough. Or maybe for you, it was a teacher in school. Maybe you weren't the greatest student and they had some words for you equating to you're really not going to amount to anything. And that's just kind of followed you around. Or maybe for you, it was somebody in your friend group that spoke disparagingly about you, or maybe even a spouse that just doesn't believe in the potential that you have, an employer that didn't see the things that you were capable of. Maybe it was even something in your life that was said in jest, or it was said kind of lighthearted, or it was said with sarcasm, but those things still cut. They still affect us. Maybe it came from a place of jealousy from that person that told you that you're not good enough. Maybe they have some wounds in their lives that aren't healed, and so instead of dealing with that, they just don't want you to be healthy either. Or maybe it's because somebody thought they were doing you a favor by kind of talking you down from some of the dreams that God has put in your heart. David goes to Saul and says, hey, I'm gonna go take care of this giant. And Saul says, no, you're too young. I wonder if Saul was looking out for David saying, if I send you out there, this guy is gonna kill you and your blood is gonna be on my hands. I'm looking out for you, David, not realizing in that moment that Saul was discouraging the destiny and the calling that David had on his life. There are people that will sow negativity into your life, and they may think that they're trying to protect you, but all they're doing is pulling you further away from your calling and your destiny. You see, anytime that God calls us to obey him and make an impact for the kingdom, we can expect that there will be people that through their words or their actions, they will express that they don't believe that we are good enough. Not a show of hands. This is not a show of hands moment. So this is a rhetorical question. But have you ever had somebody do that in your life? Have you ever had somebody say, you're not good enough? Now, real quick disclaimer before we go further. I am not speaking today of people that God brings into your life that are full of wisdom, that are godly, that are there to speak truth to you, And sometimes that truth hurts, right? When we're on the wrong track in life and somebody speaks truth to us, that stings. What I'm not saying today is that anybody that says anything against what you want to do, just I ain't gotta listen to you, like hand to the face, as we used to say back in the 90s. Man, we're getting old. That's not excusing that. We need people in our lives that are on our team that want to see us walk into the things of God. We need people in our lives that will encourage us, hold us accountable. I believe God brings those people to us. That's not who I'm talking about. What I'm talking about are the people that don't want to see us succeed. I'm talking about the people that they do not want to see us walk and step into that victory. They only want to bring doubt and negativity. And that doubt and negativity in our lives can be very powerful. All through Scripture, it talks about the power of the words that we speak. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. In the New Testament, James tells us that speaking about the tongue, it is a restless evil full of deadly poison, James 3:8. And so words that we use are powerful in the right way. An encouraging word can lift you up, but at the wrong time, the wrong words can bring doubt and they can bring death and they can kill our hope. And in the life of David, there were plenty of people that spoke doubt to him, but maybe none more obvious than when he goes and he talks to Saul, King Saul, about the opportunity to slay this giant. In 1 Samuel 17:33 from our text, I want to revisit that quickly. Saul replied when David came to him, "You are not able to go out. You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from youth." Now, Saul is absolutely speaking about David's age. David is still young here. He's not even old enough to be fighting with the rest of the army. And so he is underage. He's young. But really what this speaks to is more of experience. Saul's saying, listen, you're too young, but also you don't know anything about battle. You've got this giant, this literal giant out here that has been fighting since he was young. He is all the experience, and you are too young, and you have no experience at all. Let's be honest. That makes a whole lot of sense. If we read this story from Saul's perspective, we're like, yeah, that checks out. You don't want to send the youngest, most inexperienced guy against the biggest, toughest fighter to expect a victory in battle. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense on paper. David had an opportunity to listen to the words of Saul in this moment and say, yeah, you know what? You're probably right. It's not a great idea. Logic says that Saul was on the right track. David had no battlefield experience, and he was up against a warrior giant. But David, in this moment, doesn't allow the negativity to derail his destiny. He does not let the opinions of others kill the call of God in his life. He doesn't permit the shouts of, "You are not good enough," from Saul to discourage his dream. And so when Saul points to David's weaknesses, what does David do? David turns around and points to God's faithfulness. You see, what happened in this moment is that he started to replay some of the highlights that God brought him through. When Saul said, "You are not able, you are not good enough to go up against this giant," David said, "Let me tell you about a couple of things. When I was a shepherd," he's not even trying to cover it up. He's not trying to be anything that he's not. David's comfortable in his skin, and he said, "When I was a shepherd, here's what happened. Bears and lions would come, and they would try to take the flock, and I would go in hand-to-hand combat. I would take these things out." What he is doing is he is saying with his mouth, he's convincing Saul, but you know what he's also doing? He's reminding himself of the faithfulness of God. He's reminding himself that while he's standing there in front of Saul, hoping to stand in front of a giant, that I've been in a place like this before where I was outgunned and I was outmatched. But you know what God did in that moment? God brought me through that. And so I know what it's like to be in the battle. I know what it is like to have God come through for me. He had to remind himself of that. And in our lives, when other people are telling us that we are not good enough to step into the calling that God has for our lives, we need to do the same thing. We've got to go back and we've got to remind ourselves of the times that God has come through for us. I think sometimes in a fear of not living in the past, we want to just kind of forget the past, when in reality, God wants us to remind ourselves of how good he has been and how faithful he has been. He wants us to remind ourselves of the time that he provided for us. You remember that time that God provided for you? You remember that time that he made a way where it seemed like there was no way. You remember that time that he healed you or he healed your loved one. You remember that time that he comforted you when you were brokenhearted and he was close to you. When he brought peace that passed all understanding. When he rescued you. When he protected your home. When he protected your family. When he protected you. When he protected your kids and your spouse. Do you remember that time that he opened the door for you to walk through to that job that you had no idea even existed and you're not even qualified for, but you got it anyway? Do you remember all of those times? We have to remember those times. We have to remind ourselves of our past victories. And if you're having trouble coming up with anything and you're saying, I don't really know how God's come through for me, here's a big one. You ready? Do you remember when Jesus died so that we could live eternally? Do you remember when Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice because of the love of our Heavenly Father for us to live life and live that life more abundantly? We really don't have to go any deeper than that, but the grace of God allows us to see more and more and more and more. David says it like this in Psalms 143 and verse 5. He said, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. This is not David saying, I remember the good old days. This is David saying, no, I'm going to continually remember how God has been faithful to me. Because to have the boldness to step into our future, sometimes we've got to remind ourselves of how faithful God has been to us in our past. And when we look past we look back at those victories that God has brought us through, some amazing things start happening. When you remind yourself of how God has brought you to where you are today, when you remind yourself of the victories that he has won in your life, we start to recognize, okay, God is there. God did bring me through that. But then we also start to recognize some other things that I believe David recognized in this same moment, is that God was preparing you in those previous victories to set you up for the next victory. You see, when David was fighting the lion and the bear, God was getting him ready for Goliath, but David had no idea. David was just being faithful. David was just doing what he was supposed to do in that moment, and he was allowing God to get him those small victories. God was bringing those battles into David's life. We don't like to talk about this, right? God was bringing those battles into David's life so that he could fight those battles, so that he could instill courage in David, so that David would have the faith to build on for the next victory. Sometimes God brings battles into our lives because he wants to prepare us now for the bigger battle later on. And we've got to remind ourselves that God brought me through those smaller battles. He's going to bring me through the next battle as well. David remembered the faithfulness of God and he recognized how he prepared him. And so when David gets in front of Saul and Saul speaks doubt, David, you are not good enough to go after this Goliath. David instead was full of faith. 1 Samuel 17:37 from our text, the Lord who rescued me, this is what David says, from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. What David basically does is he looks Saul square in the face and he says, God was with me back then and God is going to be with me right now. Because who God was back then hasn't changed, and he's gonna be with me now. When I was fighting that bear, when I was fighting that lion, when God was preparing me, when I'm remembering all those things that God brought me through, God was with me back then, and he is going to be with me now. When people talk to us, and they use their words to communicate to us, you are not good enough to do what God wants you to do. You are not good. You are not qualified enough. It is not the right time. You're too young. You're too old. You're too this. You're past this reason why. This is what you're lacking. When people come to us with all of that doubt, we've got to do what David did, and we've got to go back, and we've got to replay the highlights. We've got to say, okay, God, you brought me through this time and this time and this time and this time. And even though I didn't realize it, God, you were preparing me for this next thing that I'm about to stand in front of, because I know, God, you were with me then, and I know, God, you are going to be with me now. You see, when David was anointed by Samuel, he was anointed with oil by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. When that happened, in scripture, it talks about it. It actually says that the Lord came powerfully upon him from that day on. You see, when David stood in front of Saul and he said, I remember what God did for me. I know that he's going to bring me through again. David knew that he had the Spirit of the Lord on him in that moment, which means that he knew he wasn't walking out to that battlefield on his own. He might have been going out as the only person that you saw, but the Spirit of God was on David. And so he had all of the confidence, all of the courage, all of that that he could muster because he knew he wasn't walking out there by himself. And we, when we fight battles, we are not walking into those battles alone. Paul tells us in Romans 8:11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So listen, people might doubt you. And it might look like you're walking into impossible situations right now all by yourself. It might feel like you're walking into the next step of what God is calling you to all by yourself. But you have seen what God can do. Remind yourself of how he's come through for you in the past. He's been preparing you. He's called you. And you are not going to be alone because the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us. And so no matter what giant stands in our way, we're not facing that giant by ourselves. We are facing that giant through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. People might have counted you out, but God has not. Other people might look at all of your deficiencies, your past, your flaws, your weaknesses, and discount you. But according to God in 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Listen, those people that are doubting you, those people that are telling you that you're not good enough to do whatever it is that God is calling you into, those people cannot see what God has done and is continuing to do in your heart. They don't see the faith that God has been building up inside of you. They don't see how God has taken everything that you've walked through and he has turned it for his good. They don't know the things that God is preparing you for and has prepared you for. They can't see your heart, so why would you listen to their doubt? Why would you trust their words? Instead, trust the word of God, because the word of God is eternal. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is unchanging, and it is our firm foundation. On January 29th, 2024, a couple by the name of Gail and Ron Fink were getting ready for their final inspection on their dream home in this community called the Jupiter Inlet Colony in South Florida. Beautiful home. They'd spent so much money on this home. Getting it ready, building it from scratch. One inspection away from getting the certificate of occupancy to be able to actually move into this dream home with all the preparation and all the money and all of the plans and all of the work that had gone into it. But unfortunately, at that time of the year, there were these storms that started rolling through. It was very unusual for that time of year, the severity of these storms, but they came with high tides and strong winds and huge waves that were just, beating against the shoreline right where this waterfront home was. And so before they could get that even final inspection, the waves kept pounding and kept pounding and kept pounding, and in not a very long time, because by February 10th, it had eroded almost everything underneath their backyard of their home, leaving not much there at all. And at first glance, it appears that this is a total loss. At first glance, it feels like, well, that's it for this. We're going to have to start from scratch. Onlookers looked at it and were kind of awestruck by the devastation that was happening to these people's dream home. They were disappointed for them. They felt bad for them. But the owners knew something that onlookers didn't. The owners knew that there are over 90 pilings made of steel and concrete that go way further down than you can even see in these pictures today. 90 pilings that form the foundation of this home, that kept the home upright the entire time, to the point that after inspection and inspection and inspection, at no point was this home deemed unlivable. People could still get in this home because of the foundation that had been set. Not a good idea to walk off the back porch, but you could still get in the home. You see, what seemed like the death of a dream really just served to expose the strength of the foundation. See, the doubt that was spoken over you, whoever that was, whatever they told you, whatever they said, however they tried to erode that courage that you had, erode that confidence, erode that faith, it might feel like that's what's happening. But you're going to need that courage and you're going to need that faith to follow the next phase of God's plan for your life. And if our faith and if our trust is placed in the firm foundation of God's word and not the word of others, then when others doubt us, when others tell us that we're not good enough, we won't be moved. We won't lose faith, but the foundation of our faith is going to be revealed. And you know who gets the glory when that happens? God gets the glory. When David went on that battlefield, he claimed the battle for the Lord. And God wants to fight those battles in your life as well.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.